Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is the Anfield Wrap, and at some point there was going to be an Anfield Wrap after Everton won a derby at Anfield. It is obviously very painful that it has to be this one, but it was going to happen in that at some point a football team was going to win a match in a ground against another football team. These things happen in football, but we're going to talk about the how, the why, and what needs to be different from a Liverpool point of view. And I've got Paddy Fitzsimons, Martin Fitzgerald and Damien Fitzcavanagh with me to work through all of those questions, all of those notions. And Damien, first and foremost, it hurts. It's meant to hurt. I think that that's the bit to remember. It's hurt for Everton on oh so many occasions recently at Goodison and at Anfield. So we've got to take our medicine.
100%. And no hiding from it. Deliberately got a Liverpool shirt on today to make sure anyone sees me. I did it after the Andy Johnson derby, and I do it after things like that, you know what I mean? And I sort of say, I'm not hiding. I don't gloat. And I don't rub anyone's nose in it when we win, so I'm not hiding either when we lose. I mean, we should take it, and that's the manner of what it was. I mean, I on a group chat last night and a Zoom call, you know, straight after the game with the lads and all that. And one of the lads on the Zoom call would have literally strangled all the 11 players. If you could have, you'd put him in the ground. And he calmed down a bit after that. And you've just got to get that perspective on it. I'm surprised the run has gone as long as it did. If you look back at some of the crap teams we've had in that time, and some of the more decent Everton teams, you know, that they've had. And it does hurt, yeah. It does, it's horrible, isn't it? You know, you don't want to watch any footy today. You're not really interested in it and all that. You just want to sort of bury yourself and sort of get a couple of conversations over with. Speak to a few people in work who, you know, might be wanting to talk about football more than they usually do. you find them, don't you? Do you know what I mean? And it's just horrible, isn't it? It's just flat and it just sums up everything. Everything's wrong at the moment, isn't it? You know, everything. You know, I think if we got a penalty, we'd miss it. You know, it just feels like that at the moment, doesn't it? And this is what supporting is about. This is the journey, isn't it? It was great these last few years when we've had everything delivered to us. We've had the time of our lives. I've never seen a better Liverpool team than what Jurgen Klopp's come up with for us. And part of supporting is keeping that faith and sort of digging deep and not making excuses for them. That's not good enough. Don't make excuses. You know, call them out when they're crap, but equally don't jump all over them. You know, in one way or the other, you know, there was flags outside the ground before the game. You know, people were desperate to show their loyalty and the love and the passion that they've got. And so the flip side of it is, of course, when you lose to your nearest rivals, yeah, it hurts. And they've had their custard pies so many times from us over the years. I think we should be man enough to take this. And certainly, you know, philosophically, and I get them very well with a gang of Blues, but there's a particular Blue I admire very, very much, and I haven't spoke to him in a bit too long. So I was delighted to give him a little WhatsApp message last night, and I said I'd catch up with him today, and I look forward to that. So I'll let him get his gloating done. He deserves it, and we move on. But we're in a hole at the moment. We're in a big hole, and it doesn't look like we're going to get out of it any time very soon. It's tough.
Martin, Damien's point there where he ends, you know, we are in a hole and you got to see the hole yesterday. You get to see the hole in all of its different sort of incarnations. What happens for the first 2, 3, 4 minutes of that football match is not good enough. It's not good enough by any stretch of the imagination. And then at different points during that game, what you get to see is not good enough from a Liverpool point of view. There are other moments where they look better. They get themselves through it. But at the moment, we are in one hell of a hole, I think. And I've got no sort of clear idea as to what the way out is.
No, and I think the sort of thing that hurts at the moment is that after Tuesday, it looked like we were digging ourselves out a little bit, you know, as it did after Spurs and West Ham. And, you know, you could make an argument that the sort of trip, you know, to Budapest was just what we needed. And this is the point where you start to turn a corner, and as a supporter, you kid yourself that these things are happening. And then you start a game as badly as that. And that's why it feels almost like a new low, because it's almost like you've kind of fell down the back of the, hole you're trying to dig yourself from, and you're just on the floor again with your legs scrambling in the air, thinking you're never going to get out. So it hurts because it's a derby. It hurts because they're a top four rival. But it hurts because you can't really see a way out, right now. And as the game goes on, it gets worse in terms of, luck, what happens to the captain. And I think you're at the point now where you just need to get to the end of the season without any of us losing our heads about this, because, I certainly think we can make it worse, and we shouldn't. I've never seen a team have, this amount of quality taken out of it. And, the people that have come in are doing their best, but it's a system, and you've got people who were signed to play in that system that are now playing in a system which is unrecognisable to what they were signed for. And you've got kids, playing at centre back, and we just need to get to the end of the season. And if we can, pick something up in the Champions League, if we can put up a fight for top four, then great. But when you look at first 5 minutes like that, you kind of think, what chance have you got?
It is that idea, Paddy. I can accept. I've seen bad Liverpool sides, to be quite honest with you, and this isn't a bad Liverpool side. We've all seen bad Liverpool sides, and this isn't a bad Liverpool side, even at the minute, even with all the bad luck, even with all the other stuff that's going on. And if anything, that sort of makes what you get to see in that first 5 minutes worse, in that it's a Merseyside derby. They're going to try and start with a bit of pace and a bit of tempo. You've got to not just match that, but you've got to surpass it. Them's the rules. That's the way this works. And it genuinely, I know it was windy, and I know it's all a bit different, and I know that, for instance, he's a young lad, Kabak. It's not just all on him either, far from it. There's, the lad who's currently a European champion who we paid $30 million for from Bayern Munich is dreadful for the first 5 minutes. And I think that's what I find difficult to take, is that it isn't that the bad players and it isn't that they're a bad side, far from it. But for 5 minutes, that's why it is so such a terrible start, is that it's just nowhere near the level that's expected of them, before you'd even have a chat about injuries or anything else.
Yeah, I think in the dangerous sound, I'm very Evertonian. I sort of expected a defeat yesterday. Didn't really want to say it before, but I sort of had the feeling around it. But I think when you think about that, I think when you think like that around the game, it's up to the players to change your mind. And I sort of feel like, although it was a good result midweek, I think in the back of their heads, they might have been thinking, we haven't won our own for so long. We're not playing very well. This could be the one. And when you start like that, it's sort of just, when that goal went in, it's mad because how early it was, but it felt like it was like a last minute winner to me. It felt like that was the goal that had won them the game, even from that early on. I sort of wonder, even with the players, was that sort of like a reminder that, yeah, we are in trouble, and this is what can happen. And I think you're right to point out a number of mistakes, and you don't want to pin it on any one player, but I thought they were flat throughout, but to start so flat and start in a way in which, that whole passage of play from their first goal is dreadful in terms of no one actually, one, doing the job well, but also, B, taking responsibility. It all seemed a bit, and it was a pattern that continued throughout the game, but it all seemed a bit, I'm gonna just do enough to get it to the next lad so we can sort out the problem. And what's frustrating in that goal is that it comes in their part from just doing things, one, correctly, but also just making the right decision. They did things very well. It's a good ball through, but it's not a world class through ball that cuts open a defence. It's a bit of composure. He sees the run, he puts the lad through, and the lad scores the goal. And it's something that we're not seeing anything from our lads really, in terms of that kind of composure and that kind of quality, which just throughout the whole game is missing.
What you just said there, Paddy, about it feeling like a last-minute winner, that I felt utterly deflated as soon as it went in as well. Like, oh, God. And part of the reason why is, having seen this Liverpool side, home and away, but especially the last few games at home with the City game to one side because it's a bit different because it's City, but watching them toil against defences that are masked and defences that are sitting deep, and now they put themselves on minus one. They're not just on level. They've put themselves on minus one. That's the other. But that's why as well. You've done this to yourselves, boys. You've put yourselves into minus one, and that's why it completely just drained me for the next 10. To be quite honest with you, I was just thinking, God, why on earth have we done this to ourselves? Everton haven't been attacking that well. I've seen a bit of Everton recently, and yeah, they scored a five against Tottenham, but they've not been attacking well. They're not that sort of side. They sit in and they take advantage of your errors and look to capitalise on them, and we couldn't have literally designed that to help them anymore.
No, you're spot on. I think at the moment, especially in the home games, it's felt like hard graft and really difficult to get 1-0 up. I mean, it dated all the way back to the West Brom game when we do score early in that game, but it felt like, I mean, we don't make it 2-0, but it felt so hard to make it 2-0. That game felt like a 0-0, and then they equalise and it obviously becomes a 1-1, but it's hard enough at the moment making it 1-0. So minus one, spot on. As soon as that goal went in, you were thinking it's even harder task to climb because you can't see you scoring one goal at home at the minute, never mind two. And I just think the manner in which it went in as well, and it even starts from the Kabak giving the corner away with the first long ball up. They just felt nervy from the off. And when that goal goes in, the nerves are only going to get worse. And I think Martin's spot on in terms of saying it's hard to see where we get out of it because they're going to be nervous for the next game now, aren't they? Because they've lost again. And then any little mistake is going to be punished. And you don't want to slaughter them too much for the mistakes. But teams are just going to play on them. And that's what Everton did. And that's what Everton... I didn't think Everton were particularly great yesterday at all. I not trying to knock them on anything. You know, they did the job what they had to do. But it wasn't exactly wave after wave of attack. We didn't give them enough to worry about at all, and they punished our mistakes.
What's hard at the minute, Damien, is that feeling of encouragement that you just give an opponent. So at the minute, there's no one in the ground. So it's suiting game in, game outside to come in and just sit. And the reason why that helps psychologically is you haven't got, if you're at home, you haven't got 40,000 maniacs screaming at you about engage more. And if you're away from home, you haven't got our crowds and that sort of feel of weight coming on. And I think that it's helping sides just do that. Well, we're just going to sit here, game. We're just going to sit here. But the point now as well is, though, if I'm a manager and I'm trying to say to a team before they play Liverpool, no, just sit there. Look at all this encouragement from these. Let me show you the video. And that's what's work. And then there's the getting through games, the feeling it within games, going, this is working. And then believing it more and more, less likely to come and engage, less likely to come and play. And all I'm seeing at the minute is Liverpool just supplying their own self-fulfilling prophecies to the opposition. They're making it as easy as possible for the opposition to commit to the thing that we don't like people doing. So they're just going to keep doing it. And this, as you and Martin have both said about the whole, this is what the rest of the season looks like. Coming up, we've got Sheffield United, we've got Fulham. I think Chelsea will be interested, because they might even come in and do a bit of it. We then go to Wolves. They'll just sit there, play a back five and go, we're going to, you know, this is it now. This is just what we're, until there's people back in the stadium at the very least, and until we start to win some of these games, there's loads of reasons why you just do this to Liverpool every time you play them.
Yeah. And of course, when you've got that mindset and you've got that logic, it breeds itself, doesn't it? And it's more and more, and you're overanalyzing it and you're thinking about it and you're worrying about it. I mean, Everton have played better at Anfield and lost. I'm not decrying them. They deserve the victory. Fair play to them. But spot on there, particularly with Ancelotti, you know what you're going to get. It'll be like, we're going to be difficult to beat. You make a mistake and we get one and it's going to be double hard for you. And all that rolled out. And so, and how often in the past, in a derby match, would you have said after 20 minutes, I'll fucking take a draw now? Do you know what I mean? How often has that happened? But all of us would have that mindset. Certainly speaking to him, we were almost laughing about it at half time, and you know, in the chat and everything, because at the moment it just looks. I mean, I said on a show recently, we were a Fabinho injury away from landing in the UEFA Cup, and it's gone even worse than that now. We've had it; he's out, and then Henderson's out for a stretch now. And basically, what's happening is teams can sit. And if you watch, you know, without analysing videos or nothing, if you watch the games that they play, you see an opposition with four or five strung across the edge of the penalty area, and three or four in front of them, no more than 2 yards in front of them, blocking the gaps in between. And we're nowhere near as inventive enough to get past that. It's not like Mourinho masterclasses that were coming up all the time in defence. We're talking about standard Ole Gunnar Solskjaer versions of defending, where basically just get enough numbers back. Just make sure that when the crosses come over, there's enough heads in there to head it away. And Liverpool are lacking imagination. And then, on top of that, I'm lacking a bit of freshness, quite frankly, and we need something fresh, and we need something called Diogo Jota, like yesterday. And then what we've also got at the other end of the pitch. And I don't know if I've got this saying right, but it's one of the favourite ones I've heard you use. It's like flying the plane and trying to build it at the same time. It's like, well, that's what we've got at centre-back. So we've got, you know, a kid in there, we've got a lad who, you know, isn't good enough to play in the Premier League, probably, you know, or certainly won't end up there, you know, manful that he is and whatever have you. And you got these lads who are trying to be in a system, like Martin pointed out there, good point, the system is very particular at Liverpool. And the one-on-one, high up the pitch defending that Liverpool centre-backs do. We haven't got the tools to play it that way. And so everything, basically the whole thing of it at the moment is the whole ship is rocking, isn't it? You know what I mean? Because there's a big hole and we all know where it is. And then, of course, while you're compensating for it at one end, you're not as effective at the other. And so Liverpool are just basically, it's then looking pedestrian. And then what is, we haven't, if any team is synonymous with the atmosphere of the home crowd, we're certainly one of them. And we haven't even got that. So they've got to come up with these problems and they've got to come up with them soon. And unfortunately, you're looking at it and you just think everything's going against us. And all he can do is burst out of it and keep working and keep the confidence. Because there was times yesterday when Everton were on the ropes. There were times during that game yesterday, and I am not someone who's going to make, you know, I've just said before, Everton deserve to win. I've got no complaints about that. You're not going to hear me complaining about it. But there were positive aspects to the game. You know, when Trent, for example, was showing up a bit more like himself and things like that. They've just got to make sure that they're all on point, because they're going to be remembered for all that they've done. And if you don't watch it, they're going to be remembered for all this as well. It's horrible watching it at the moment, and it just doesn't look. It's not as if the goalkeeper's making world-class saves. It's not as if it's Mourinho's defence that we're coming up with, you know, against. It's just standard stuff. And it's we just look flat, we look tired, and we look like we need refreshing in all areas of the pitch. And until we get the players back, we haven't got the solution. We haven't got it.
Well, but that's true, Damien. But what you said there about the keeper not making the saves, I think it's easy, obviously, to focus in on the errors, the bad first 5 minutes. The one thing I would say, just to really spread it about with a big shovel, is what you just said there about the keeper not making world-class saves. And on that, the best save he makes all the way through the match is the volley from Henderson from over 20 yards out. That's the best save that Pickford makes. He does really well coming out and smothering Salah when Salah gets in, but Salah should just do better. He's got about five options there, Salah, and he picks the, I'd say, the most mundane one. And that's frustrating, isn't it, Damien? Because we do get a lot around their penalty area towards the end of the first half and for the first 25 minutes of the second half. We are very around their box, very, very camped. We're pulling them this way and that. There's a lot of last-ditch stuff, especially from Keane, who played ever so well, I thought. But you'd end up going, but where's the brilliant... Where, you know, Pickford doesn't go off man of the match. Michael Keane goes off man of the match. And that's my frustration.
Yeah. And at the start of the second half, it was the action that you wanted. And yeah. I was like, how come you didn't start the first half like this? Because we wouldn't be a goal behind if you did. You know, and I hate that. I hate, you know, one of my pet hates in foot, and you know, I'm not a moaner, like, you know what I mean? But I look at it and, you know, I don't like it when teams decide to start the game at the start of the second half. It starts on the first whistle, and so quite right, it's getting called out the first 5 minutes and that, because you're expecting a committed, combative Everton, a proud club with a big, big weight of history on the shoulders trying to get this win. Every time, it's the Scouts derby. I want to see people flying into each other. Fair, no quarter asked or given. We didn't start like that. The second half, we did. And so we're getting around the area. And it's the law of averages then at that point, isn't it? You think, they keep going and keep going and keep going, they're going to get something. But it's just one of those things at the moment. I don't, like I say, we need some freshness. And Jota was adding that freshness. And what we had in this team was the fact that we had the best attacking three in world football, including international teams. And what we had was a huge drop-off if any one of them was missing. And so the solution to the problem was to get Diogo in, and he's missing, and the others who were coming in behind. I mean, Shaqiri's got tricks in him and everything, but he didn't make any difference, did he? Origi, you know, will always be remembered for his heroics, but, you know, he's predictable. Do you know what I mean? And I don't think, you know, that scared Everton with him coming into the game that late, did he? You know, and so we're just flat, and we need a bit of freshness. And like I say, until we get a player, I'm not saying Diogo's going to come back and score six goals in the first two games and all that caper. We just need the opportunity to change it up and to give the opposition defences a different problem, because what's happened is they've studied what we've been able to give to them and they've been able to work that out, and we're not adding to it. And then because we've got players who are playing in defence instead of in midfield, it means the midfield's not as inventive and it hasn't got enough variety in it as well. And so all those things added together are just making us look flat going forward.
Just on Martin, on that idea of freshness there, I think that's, you know, absolutely key. I read your ratings last night, and I think you're basically said that the midfield were absolutely nowhere near it, in that they don't do any of the things that you want a midfield to do. They don't get a grip of the game and at least, you know, create a bridgehead and smother the opposition. They don't create very much. There's no third man run. I don't know. I can't remember any of the three of them that start the game having an attempt. I don't think they do over the course of the match. I think that Curtis Jones might have one bit of a pop from about 25 yards at one stage, but I can't think of anything else that they get up to. You know, all the bits of this, that anything that you could want a midfield to do, you come away feeling like they didn't do it. But then the flip side of that is, well, I don't know who else he was meant to pick. Because I'm... And that's what's killing you at the minute. I'd love to go, and the manager got it wrong. He should have picked this fella or this fella or this fella. Maybe he could do 4-2-3-1 and give Divock 60 minutes and have a little look. But apart from that, I don't know who else he's meant to pick.
I mean, you know, I think I'm right in saying that Scott McTominay, a defensive midfielder for United, has scored more goals than all of our midfield players put together this season. And if you'd have told me that at the start of the season, I'd have thought you were mad. That says something about Scott McTominay this year, but it says a hell of a lot about what's happened to our midfield. And as you say, if I was picking that team last night, that's the three that I probably put in midfield. And it kind of goes back to this, you know, system again, that you have to remember that people like Andy Robertson was a defender at Hull that no one was, you know, clamouring for us to sign. You know, Genie was a midfielder at Newcastle that wasn't setting the world alight. And then they got bought. You can go through a lot of the team, you know, Gomez at Charlton. This is not a team, you know, you take out Van Dijk and Alisson, this is not a team of, you know, Galacticos. This is a team of very specific players that were bought to, you know, play in a very specific system. And I even include Thiago in that he probably wasn't, you know, bought to do the job that he's doing right now. But when the system falls apart around it, then unfortunately, you know, Genie looks like he plays almost, you know, like he did for Newcastle. You know, Andy Robertson looks like the defender that he was at Hull. And it's not their fault. It's because it's everything. I mean, look, if I keep going back to this thing about you take out that much quality, not just from a football team, but from any organisation, I don't know how you expect it to, you know, continue at the same level of success that it did before. If, you know, you, Gibbo and Gareth were out for a year, you'd have dickheads like me hosting shows. And I absolutely assure you, people would be looking at their £7 every month and wondering whether that was value for money. So it's just, you know, it's really hard to, you know, analyse and to criticise this team on a game-by-game kind of micro level, because it's not our team. And you can only fix it by putting the cogs back in that made it work in the first place. Can you do better? Yes, of course you can do better. Does it help that Kabak, you know, heads the ball out for a corner needlessly in the first minute, puts us under pressure? Of course that doesn't help. But that's what you end up doing. You end up criticising kids, inexperienced players, and people playing out of position. And to have all of your three centre-backs injured and then the two, you know, midfield players that were deputising at centre-back also injured, it's just very hard to look at that through any kind of normality and point the finger at anyone, because it's been decimated and they're doing their best, and at times that isn't good enough, but they're doing their best.
I understand, Paddy, that people are bored of hearing about injuries, specifically the one to Van Dijk, but for me the thing is, it is the line I've been using about throwing stones into a pond and watching the ripple effect. And it isn't just the one stone with Van Dijk, solely Van Dijk. You know, for instance, I thought we were doing absolutely fine, and actually I thought Gomez was looking like he might be about to have the season of his life. Before the one hits him, it looks as though he'd really settled into the shift inside of centre-half. He got six games as the left-sided centre-half, as the senior centre-half. And I was thinking we could really, by the end of the season, be saying, I tell you what, Joe Gomez is a real, real serious footballer. It's not one stone into the pond creating ripples. It's six big fucking rocks into the pond creating ripples. And that's that's why I think it is. I understand that it sounds a bit dull to people. I'm literally bored of discussing injuries as it comes out of my mouth, to be frank. I, you know, as Martin says, I present these shows and it's, you're back saying it, but like even Oxlade-Chamberlain is still a victim of injury. He's on the bench at the minute, but he's obviously nowhere near match fit because he doesn't get fucking near these games currently. He can't be anywhere near it. And as you go through them all, you know, Paddy, you are talking here. It's absolutely serious, serious numbers. And it's killing you to watch because, as Martin says, what it's doing is it's crushing the players who've been left behind, who are trying to do better. And yes, they should be doing better at key moments. We've slaughtered them for the start. But that midfield, for instance, Wijnaldum, Thiago, Jones, it just looked entirely dysfunctional.
Yeah, I think with the injuries, there's not really much more to add to what you've said in terms of I'm tired talking about it as well. And it's one of these things. I think where it can get frustrating, and listen, I haven't got no solution to it, but when people talk about, you know, writing the season off and things and saying, oh, you've got to put it down as one of them, you know, we've still got to watch Liverpool play every week. And that's where I'm at it. And that's why it is hard, because we've still got to watch them play every week. And at the minute, we're watching them get beat every week. And I know it's not easy. And I understand. And I completely get why this is happening in terms of a take Everton Martin said about how the whole system, the way the players play, it's not normal. It's not, this is an arse team. But I think I'd sort of go in a bit more, I'd go in a bit harder in terms of, you know, we made the point about how they should be doing things better. I think you make that point more. I thought the midfield, although it looked dysfunctional in terms of maybe a Jones, Thiago and Wijnaldum midfield was never supposed to play together. You could ask Klopp now, and if in pre-season he thought they would ever play together, and he might turn around and say no. But I thought, just to finish the point on how we started the game, besides the goal, I thought we let them settle too easily. I thought the midfield, I'm all right with not scoring goals from midfield, because we haven't done that for two seasons. I think last season our top scorer outside of the front three is Chamberlain on about seven. So that's not a new thing, us not scoring goals from midfield. But what I'd say is they didn't seem to be doing anything. None of them seem to be taking responsibility in terms of progressing us up the pitch. And then whenever we pressed, it took us a while to press, but whenever we pressed, it was later on in the second half, later on in the first half, the front three began to press and they looked a bit uncomfortable, but the midfield went up with them and they just seemed off the pace for everything. And I think what's getting me in these games, and I am watching them with knowing in my head that this isn't going to be the Liverpool that I've watched for 2 years, and I understand all the problems going on, but what's getting me is I don't think we have to be that much better to maybe not win games, but give ourselves a better chance of winning games.
On that, Paddy, in my head at the minute, a lot is 16-17 under the manager, where we get to Christmas, we win on New Year's Eve against Manchester City. We're a good side, and then we only win in January. We play 8 games, I think, all comps, and we only win one of them, which is a third-round replay against Plymouth Argyle. We are fucking awful. And then we have another couple of bad results moving into February. We get beat at Hull. It's dire, I remember it. We get done 3-1 at Leicester when they're going through a torrid time. They're off the season when they won the league and they're really, really struggling. And Danny Drinkwater, I think, drives one in from about 25 yards to open the score, and then everything's dreadful in that one. And then we just decide that we're not going to get beat. And this, to me, is what I'm frustrated about, and what I was frustrated about against Leicester, when it was remarkably harsh. We've been great, and the goal that does us to pull it back to 1-1 is remarkably harsh. But just don't fucking lose, lads. Yeah. At that point, just don't lose, because you're not now a side that's trying to win this league. It's gone, so just don't get beat. The game there against Everton yesterday, obviously it's our ground and it's Anfield and you want to be right up for it, but the first thing to do is just ensure you're not going to get beat. And I think that's what you're saying, that what I want now, you know, the manager in that running of 16-17 changes the shape, puts Chan and Lucas right in front of the back four. We're pretty ugly to watch, to be quite honest with you, but we stop getting beat. And I want it, you know, if there's one thing I want them to be doing this week, is I want them all sat around in a circle in the training facility, having a big chat about not losing. Because if they could just stop fucking losing, firstly, I'd be happier. But also, secondly, off the back of that, that's how they're going to qualify for top four. If you don't lose any between now and the end of the season, even now, you'll win enough to finish in the top four.
I think as well, it's not exactly like it's not ugly to watch at the minute. So, you know, because it is, because we're shite. So it's not great to watch at the minute. So I think if they were to change the system into a way like that, it would obviously be better. I think that sort of was my point, and the fact that I think we don't have to be much better at the things we're doing to stand the chance at winning games, but we're too easily beat. So the first thing I said on this was when that Richarlison goal goes in, I thought we'd lost because I couldn't see a way back into them. But if we were a side that, you know, sat back a bit more, looked a bit harder to beat, you could imagine us nicking a goal or something and then being in the game. But my problem at the minute is, you know, we are too easily beat in terms of the Leicester game. You can play well for 80 minutes and then capitulate. But, you know, we don't. The way we're playing at the minute, it's like we're trying to fake the Liverpool that we were for 2 years without having the resources to do it. And then and as a result, we're not getting results.
On that point, Damien, of Paddy's there, that's what I think's hard, is that we're being just a less good version of a crushing machine. And there's an issue with that. I think he's almost got to pick one or the other. And I don't mean to be daft about it. He's either got to say, if you score three, we score four.
Yeah.
Or he's got to go, this is going to be horrible. We're going to sit deep. We're going to make your life a living hell. No one's going to enjoy watching this game on the whirly gig of every football match ever is constantly screened. And my God, don't you feel as though it's the poking you in the eyes of the football? We're going to be the worst of that. We're going to be the team no one wants to see. That he's almost got to go, I think, one way or the other. It either goes, we're committing completely to absolute chaos and madness because we're backing our footballers to score four if you score three. Or he's got to go, these games are all going to be decided by the odd goal and we're sitting on the edge of our penalty area.
Yeah, I don't mind either. I think it's good. I think one of the things maybe that Jürgen could be accused of is he's being too noble. He's being too honourable in staying to his tried and trusted system, and he wants to play the football that we've absolutely enjoyed watching. But he hasn't got the players. You know, going back to what the lads have been saying here, we haven't got the guys who can play in those positions that make that system so entertaining to watch and so devastatingly effective. And so, yeah, I've been saying for a little while that I think we should just go for it. It's heavy metal football time. Let's go into the game and know it's going to be 4-3 and we just hope it's going to be our way. You know, go for it. Let's have it. Go on.
Do you not think on that, though, I've heard that point a lot about, you know, maybe beating teams 4-3. Do you not think I think the players sort of, in a way, need to take a bit of responsibility because maybe he has thought, maybe the manager has thought to do that, but when you're looking at, no, the front three, I think, need to take a lot of responsibility for it. Barring Salah, who's obviously plus 20 goals this season, but Mane's on about 7 or 8 all season. Firmino's around the same. I think, like, I'm looking at that going, I can't imagine us beating a side 4-3 if we go all out attack. Because they're not playing well enough now. And like, again, you know, we've said all along, we don't want to slaughter anyone, but they're just not playing well enough. And Firmino yesterday, you know, the amount of shots he has, which are just, you know, they're unforgivable in a sense where it. My point before about not giving ourselves a chance to win games, we're not even giving ourselves chances to create chances because the amount of times for me, you know, I'll have what you'd call a half chance and then if blazes over the bar or blazes it wide, if he's just a bit better and tests the keeper, especially someone like Pickford who we know who can make mistakes, he might push that out to Salah who's running in or whatever, or we might win a corner off it and then we might score a goal off a corner, but because they're that bad at the moment, we're not even getting to see what can come of something. I think it's even hard to pick examples of these moments because they're not even half chances really because they just pit it out. But one that stuck with me was, I can't remember who plays the ball to Mane on the edge of their box, but Mane pins the defender and all he's got to do is roll it about a yard to Salah who's ran off him and he plays it behind him, and it's just one of them where you're like, that'll never get spoken about. You'll never show a replay of that because it comes to nothing. But that's a basic thing to do. You've done the hard thing. You've pinned the defender. You've rolled him. Just play the 2 yard pass to the lad standing next to you. And then we might have a chance from it. But we're not even doing that. So I think I know no one's saying anything against the manager, but just to stick up for the manager and put myself in his shoes. I don't know if we're playing well enough or he can be confident enough to say, listen, we'll go heavy metal. We beat sides 4-3 at the minute because they're just not showing it enough.
And I think that's a great point. So like it is literally, and as Neil was saying, it's go one way or the other now, isn't it? Because basically, with the front of Salah taking apart, you know, but going forward, you know, it looks as though if these lads went for a piss at half time, they'd miss the bog. Do you know what I mean? You get times in your life where things just don't go right. You get times in your life where things just are against you. And it's like, well, I'll stick to my principles and I'll still be the same person. But there's a pragmatic issue going on here, that Liverpool need enough points to finish in the top four in this league. And if that means that Jürgen's got to literally throw out the heavy metal football side of things, because the lads who we would trust to score four goals in a football match and were given gay abandon and go for it, right, just it isn't working for them at the moment. And he just thinks, listen, he looks a bit flat, his morale's a bit low, and you know, I haven't got the freshness to inject into this team at the moment. And I've got no problem at all if they turn it the other way around and say, right, we're going to do what the other teams do. We're going to make sure we don't let one in. And if you make a mistake, we've got lads who do. I don't mind what the solution is. And I thought a little while ago that we should have really, and I think we should have took the initiative earlier during this crisis of really just going for it, the basketball type games of football. But looking at it now and looking at it the way it's gone, yeah, I think it could be, let's be the team that does 0-0, 1-0, 2-0, 1-1. Do you know what I mean? And that's the solution that gets us enough points to finish fourth, and we get the lads back who we need, and we get an ex-transfer in, and we all go again, then yeah, that's fine. That's absolutely fine by me.
I mean, looking at that, you know, I would say the issue that we have there is that, you know, all of the resources that we have at our disposal and all of the resources that are coming back are all attacking resources. So in order to try and set up a team which is solid at the back, I mean, good luck with that. Because for a start, you are playing probably Kabak and Phillips for maybe the rest of the season. Your only defensive midfielder is Genie. The idea of inviting teams onto us at the moment, Jesus Christ. I mean, I just didn't get the ball up the other end of the pitch. And the part of the game yesterday where we looked good, that little bit in the start of the second half, was almost like we condensed the game just to almost like a sort of part of the pitch on the right-hand side, which was just Trent and Salah, and it looked a bit like last year. And you thought, well, this bit hasn't been affected by everything that's happened. We know all over the pitch There's a bunch of, you know, blown up mines, but this bit is like it was last year. So let's just try and do something there. I wouldn't be surprised if you see, you know, Jota come back, Keita come back, and they all kind of find a way into the team. And I genuinely think the best form of defence for this team at the moment is to have the ball nowhere near our defence. Because it's a combination of inexperience, terrible luck, and, you know, referees that you wouldn't want to go to the cinema with because they'd get off after fucking 5 minutes because that's enough for them. You know, I mean, you don't want a ball anywhere near our penalty box or our defenders. Thank you very much.
It's just like Jürgen's in a position where it's like international managers of like Scotland or Wales or whatever. You can have all your noble ideas and all your noble systems. You've got this many lads. This is what you've got. You might have a boss left back, a boss right back, a boss. So you've got to play to your boss, lads. Because this is what you've got available till the end of the season. So it is that, you know, going back to what, you know, Neil's question there is, it's the pragmatic approach. If you look at this, who's fit, who's able, who's fresh, who's up for it? And then with those, who's the best 11 players that I've got? With regard to fitness, morale, energy, all that, you know, example, you know, I mean, one of the big things I think yesterday was, you know, no Virgil on the pitch, no Henderson, no Milner, no bite, no fight, no arguing with the ref, no driving the lads on or whatever have you. So we've got to identify, there's a few issues, you know, across the pitch that we're talking about. But basically, yeah, quite right, you know, whoever's fit, whoever's available, get them boss 11 and then dictate the way you approach the game. Play into those strengths, and whether that's like, you know, we make it more difficult to beat and, you know, we're a bit more conservative, or we just go for it. I think we're falling between the two stools at the moment, and I think that's the problem.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually. You know, it's a little bit like those, you know, kind of Welsh teams where you've got, you know, you've got people like Giggs, Rush and Hughes up front, and you've got, you know, someone off a farm at the back, and it's like, well, you know, should we just play with the lads up front? It's got to be easier. I mean, that didn't work for Wales. I don't think they won anything. but you can see the trouble that we're in. All of our best resources, you know, face forward at the moment.
But then they've got to play better, Martin, when they're getting around the opposition.
Absolutely.
You know, if that's the onus that's on them, then when you're through one-on-one with the keeper, do better, frankly.
Yeah, you know. and there's individuals there that you know need to do better. But you know, if I'm setting up against Liverpool this year as opposed to last year, I'm thinking that you know my midfield are going to get a much easier 90 minutes, and you know you have to remember that midfield last year was taking out 3 or 4 players of the opposing team. That gave more space to Trent. It gave more space to Robertson. It didn't allow people to double up on, you know, Mane and Salah like they're doing now. So, you know, they are sitting deep, and it's really hard to you know break these teams down. Could all of these players do better? Of course they could. Is it understandable that it's not quite working for them? Yes, it is. You know, are they factually bad players? You know, have they all had a huge drop in form? Well, it's just really hard to tell because I still think that if you put Henderson, Fabinho and Genie in that midfield, then everyone around that benefits. Everyone around that gets 100%. More space. Everyone around that is dealing with a much more tired opposition. You get more space.
Spot on.
I just firmly believe that happens, but yeah. It ain't going to happen.
And so, man, you've got the double up on the... I think Neil's point as well, by the way, I get the Virgil thing, and I 100% get the Virgil thing, but that, Virgil being out himself hasn't killed us. Virgil and Gomez being out has killed us. And then having Henderson and Fabinho out of the midfield is killing us. And then they're even out of the fucking defence. It's double, you know, and if anyone does, rivals aren't bothered, are they? And then moaning fans of teams just say, I'm bored with the injuries. Okay, tell you what then. 4 lads on this call here. How much would we love to play for Liverpool? Well, get us all out the alehouse and put red shirts on us. Let's talk it all up. Let's go for it. Let's make sure Liverpool's got the other 7 best players that they've got and put us all in the team. It just isn't going to work. We need these. And the players who we've got missing, when you've got Virgil missing and when you've got Gomez and when you've got Henderson and when you've got Fabinho, how on earth could the ship be steady? And so, again, so Jürgen's got the biggest problems he's ever had as a manager, probably. You know, he started off much lower. But at the moment, you know, getting this team to finish in the top 4 would be a... You know, Herculean, absolutely massive achievement if he does it from here.
I mean, this is a really hard thing for fans, I think, and it's a really hard thing for, you know, punditry and everything that surrounds football, because it's really boring and it's the same thing every week. It's the injuries, and it's just, I don't think, you know, the kind of world we live in today with, you know, fan media and, you know, lots of, I mean, Monday Night Football analysing stuff. You can pick apart individual moments in these games. You can pick apart refereeing decisions. But, Jesus, we have all our players back and things are just much, much better. And that's just... And you know, we were saying that in November and it's got dramatically worse since then. So it feels like not only are we saying the same thing, we're saying it louder.
On that, Paddy, the idea of hard lines, I think we have hard lines around the penalty. At that point, I'll be frank, I don't think there was 1-1 on the horizon. So, you know, by all means, let Gylfi Sigurdsson have a cheap one. All the best. I'm quite relaxed about that. Thought Calvert-Lewin was great when he came on, by the way. But that aside, that's hard lines. I'm also, though, of the view that, again, because it is driving you mad, they also just have hard lines with Henderson going off injured. And I think you get to see it in everyone. And here's this fella who's trying to be Liverpool manager again, and he turns around. Henderson tries to play on, which is one of the maddest bits of trying to play on since Carragher tried to play on with a broken ankle. It is absolutely berserk that Henderson tries to play on, as far as I'm concerned. It's quite clear that something pretty drastic's happened. And you can see the physio is almost saying to him, don't go back on. And he's going, I think I can run it off. But that shows that, you know, Henderson very much takes his role and his responsibility seriously. And if anything there, you get to see almost him and the manager. They're almost just praying for a miracle. Like, if he sets foot back on the pitch, it'll just fix itself. It's a mad thing to do, but I think it says a lot about the mentality of everyone, which was just not one more injury. Please, not one more injury to a senior player.
Yeah, I think as well, it shows a lot about Henderson in particular, his awareness of the situation on the pitch in terms of what was so frustrating about it. Obviously, it's another injury and it looks like he'll miss a few weeks, but Henderson was sort of coming into the game as our biggest attack and threat, which sounds a bit mad considering he was playing left centre half. And, you know, that's an indictment on how poorly we'd started the game. But it's like it got to a point about, say, 25 minutes in. I'm not sure when he got injured, but it's like he'd gone, listen, I'm sorting this out now because we've started far too slow. We've started far too flat. And he was stepping up the pitch. There was a period for about 2 or 3 minutes where Thiago was in the centre-half position and Henderson has just said, I'm boxing this, I'm keeping these penned in. And I thought he was doing really, really well. And the energy levels in midfield stepped up a bit. And there was a bit more zip in the passing. And
well, he gets the injury, turning away, beating Decore, going round him and then carrying him. That's why he's getting the injury. Yeah. Like, he's driving everyone up the pitch, getting the injury, when he's actually beating one of their midfielders.
I know.
You know what I mean? Their most combative midfielder, he's beating him, and that's where he gets the injury, and I think that tells a story.
It's hard lines as well, because you can make an argument that the ref blows up when Decore makes his first about 6 fouls. Then he stops running and then doesn't pull whatever muscle he has done, but it's just, you know, it's another injury, isn't it? It's a massive loss because, I mean, he's made that position his own. And as I say, I think other than the spell just after, you know, just at the start of the second half, that was the time when I seen us coming into the game a bit more. And obviously we don't know too much about it, but he's going to be a massive loss because, you know, in all the games, especially the games, not that there's been many of them that we've performed well in over the last period of the games, he's been the one. You know, you look back to Tottenham. You know, I thought we played well first half against Tottenham, but we're not creating loads. And then it's him just before half time stepping out of the defence, playing that ball to Mane, who then knocks it across to Firmino. You know, it seems to be him driving us on every single time. And even the Leicester game, there was the one in the first half where Salah gets in from his ball from defence. It's just, you get sick of talking about it, and it's one of these things. And We're gonna miss him, but the fact that he carried on, I mean, I hope it hasn't made it worse, but it probably has, because if it is a serious injury, even if it is a muscle, even if he has only pulled the muscles playing on for, even if it was only 1 or 2 minutes, kind of been good. And it just shows, I think it shows an understanding from him that he knows how bad it is at the minute, and he felt he needed to try it. But it also, you know, the manager is very conservative, and I think the fact that the manager let him, I mean, maybe the manager didn't have a choice. Maybe he just said, listen, and the manager can only go off what the player's saying and the physio. But the fact that the manager wasn't like, no, you're getting off now. I mean, Phillips was stripping as soon as he went down. So I think the manager knew. But I think that shows a bit of, you know, let's be frank about it. It's desperate, isn't it? The fact that the manager feels like he's okay with them going on. And the fact that Henderson feels like, you know, I'm going to give this a go, shows how desperate we are at the minute. And the fact that he's going to be missing now, it's going to be a big miss for us.
The manager's first change he can control, so therefore the second sub. I'm not that interested in talking about the third, and obviously the first's forced, Damien. For me, the second tells a lot of story about the match, about what he was seeing, about where everyone is. He doesn't do Keita. So Keita's on the bench, but he doesn't do Keita. And he decides instead that this isn't there for Keita. They've talked about trying to save Keita. Doesn't do Chamberlain. Chamberlain's come off the bench a few times recently and just looked so far away from match fitness. Does do Shaqiri, and it does absolutely nothing. Shaqiri does play the little ball into Salah's feet, but arguably it's part of that is he gets in each other's way, and Shaqiri just deals with it quite well as much as anything else. But I think I understand the wing and a Hail Mary sub, and I understand Jadon Shaqiri as that to an extent. But I think it just tells you the story ultimately of where Keita is, where Oxlade-Chamberlain is, and what the manager actually thinks of Divock Origi at this stage, that it is Shaqiri who is his first one into the heart of a midfield when you had no sense of how that was going to work or look or improve us.
No, I just think it was the Hail Mary sub. I think it's exactly what it was. And the Shaq's got it in him, hasn't he? You know, he can let one fly, play a ball in. You know, and he almost did get an assist, didn't he? You know, when you look back at it, and that would have completely changed the whole thing. You know, probably would have drawn 1-1, you know, if we'd have got that goal, you know, the way it's going at the moment. But I don't think it was an unreasonable sub. But you're quite right, it's what it says about the other players. And it's not happening for Oxlade, is it? He just doesn't seem to be able to get in any kind of rhythm. And what an injury that was, because he was absolutely at the peak of his powers when he went off against Roma. And he's finding it very hard to get back. And Keita, you know, he was the best player I'd never seen when we signed him, you know, and all this, euphoria about, we can't get him on the pitch. And if you can't get them on the pitch, you can't, you know, and you need a run of games. And they're in a catch-22, aren't they? Because players will need a situation where this manager says, listen, 6 games here, you're getting a run. Get in there. You know, don't worry about the first one if you're not firing on all cylinders. I trust you. Build your fitness up. Build your confidence. You know, get in the rhythm of it. All that keep. But we're in a position where we've either got players missing through injury or we've got these games are too important and we can't sort of like indulge getting Oxley back in or anything like that because it's too important. And so, yeah, it's a real situation that we've got. With regard to, you know, Divock and the Shaq, I think, you know, if the circumstances around the world have been different, I don't think either of them be at the club. I think we'd have got good money for them. I think they'd be enjoying being a very important player at a decent team somewhere else in Europe, both of them. But the circumstances are the circumstances. And I do think that they are good players. And I do think he was a worthwhile sub, but it just didn't come off. And that's what you're always going to get with the Shaq. He might do something great and he might be anonymous. And that's what it was. But behind it, what you're saying about Keita and behind it, what you're saying about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, yeah, I agree. It's a concern for them, isn't it? Because can you really see them working themselves into this team? Can you see them being a stalwart in this team this time next year? I'd like to think that both of them could be able to doing it, but it just doesn't look like it's happening, does it, at the minute?
I think on the Shaqiri sub, I think it works a lot more. And when I don't like it when he comes on Shaqiri in that midfield three. I think we look a lot lighter in midfield, and I get it's an attacking sub and he's sort of sacrificing that, but I think what might have worked a bit better yesterday is if Shaqiri did come on the right and you'd move Salah a bit more central. I think one thing we're really struggling with is, and Martin touched on it before, in terms of teams are allowed to sit a lot deeper when our midfield's not as strong as it was last year. But Salah, when he's on that right sometimes, and you know, I'm saying this about someone who scored 20 goals this season, but it's very easy to isolate him. And I think as someone who scored 20 goals, can we just get him closer to the goal and, you know, closer to where we can get him in? Because Like I said, the goals aren't coming from Mane, the goals aren't coming from Firmino. So I think that's what I might have done. I think I might have had a look at, you know, Shaqiri coming in from that right-hand side, getting Salah closer to the goal and in the centre of the pitch. I'm making things happen as well. I think with Salah sometimes, I think when he is central, and we've seen it a lot of times before, he's occupying defenders, he can use his strength, he holds the ball well. And I think there's times and there's periods of games in this run that we've been on where he barely touches it for 5 minutes because he's so far out on that right, and it's not his fault. He's doing what he's been asked of, but we just can't get him in the game. And I think the only issue you'd have with the subs is that, and it's been the same for a few weeks, is they're not really changing the system in any way, and it's back to that point that we mentioned earlier about how we're sort of, it's a Liverpool side attempting to be another Liverpool side. And I haven't got the answers to it, because we've talked on this show about how do you go all out attack or all out defence? Well, the attack aren't attacking very well, and we've got two lads in defence who shouldn't be anywhere near the side. But I just think in a game like that, and in games going forward, they might have to have a look at a change in formation or something, because you've got to play to your strengths. And I think we haven't got many strengths at all at the minute, but one of them is Salah. And I think seeing him that far out and that isolated on the right, I think it is hurting us a bit. And I think and especially when you're not getting much from Firmino at all either, I think just having him, fit, you know, in the sense of the pitch might have been better. And I take the points about Chamberlain and Keita. And I think the case with Keita was, I mean, I know he was on the bench and there's that old thing of, you know, if he's fit enough to be on the bench, he's fit enough to come on. But I think he might have brought him on if he thought he was, if he thought he could have, I think he would have, because I'm not Keita's biggest fan, but someone who could carry that ball with a bit of urgency we were crying out for. So I think the manager would have brought him on. He must have thought, you know, he's just not at it yet. And you probably have got,
I tell you who is, sorry, go finish.
No, I just think with Chamberlain and Keita, you need to get them into a rhythm, and we're going to struggle to do that. But you know, we're struggling anyway. So it might be a case of, you know, the midfield being great yesterday as it is. And I take the point about, you know, Chamberlain isn't match fit, but he's only going to get match fit by playing games, and we're not getting much from the other lads. So it might be one that you look at going forward, playing both of them and just playing them into some sort of rhythm.
I tell you who is fit though, fucking Minamino. And if you needed any further evidence that we are living in an alternate reality, is that you turn on the Southampton-Chelsea game, he gets his second goal in 3 starts. Absolutely incredible finish. And I mean, is that clutching at straws? Possibly, but what we're talking about here is, you know, trying to beat teams 4-3. We've just sent out on loan this kid that, you know, the last time he really started for us was against Palace, where he did well. And we're bringing on, you know, Shaqiri and Origi. I mean, that, you just... there does come a point where you don't know whether to laugh or to cry.
I think it's a great point, yeah. Yeah, I think it's a great point. And it goes back to the substitution question that Neil was asking, really. Because of the drop-off in quality, it's sort of like, well, OK, Firmino's not firing on all cylinders, but I need a goal. And if I take him off, he might just put one pass in. Do you know what I mean? So we're not rotating those front three. So Jota, like I say, we need him yesterday. I think the great shout there about putting Salah through the middle, because who's your best 11? Who's your on-form players? Who's the most effective? Pick a system that fits these lads. And so if we get Diogo back in the front three, you might see Bobby, for example, come out of the team, but then that'll fire him up because that'll keep him fresh and keep on the toes and whatever have you. But with regard to the Minamino thing, I don't get it, because I think he's a cracking player. And I think he'd be an option of somebody who could, with blanket defences, could maybe open things up and would have been a nice option for us off the bench yesterday. So that's a disappointing move, in my opinion, when you've got the other options coming on. Who do you think's got is going to make more impact going forward for Liverpool between Minamino, Origi and the Shaq? And I think it's Minamino, so I don't know what happened there. And I hope it's not the end of him at the club. I hope he does really well at Southampton and comes back and is a viable option in the squad and one of our problem solvers, an option going forward.
Just on the idea of problem solving, Martin, I think one of the reasons why, or one of the parts of Minamino going, suggests the manager had decided he was just going to bite down and go with what we go with, and there was going to be difficulty in getting Minamino the game time he feels as though he needs. That said, now though, with the circumstance being the way in which it is, you know, that decision's not, you know, he hasn't got to stand by that decision. Obviously, he has to stand by the decision to send Minamino to Southampton. But my point is, he's got a week to work out if he wants to change it. We've got a little bit of breathing space before the game against Sheffield United. Then it is now three games in a week because the Chelsea game's moved, but that could be all right as well. My point is he's got a week to get them in shape and work out what it is he wants to do next in terms of all this stuff he's got to do in terms of bandaging people up, seeing where fitness is. It's a week's time as well. You know, it may well be that Fabinho is closer after a week's more time, that a couple of the others are closer, Keita's closer as well. But he does have this week where he can work with them, and if he wants to, maybe look at something a bit different.
Yeah, I mean, I would be interested to see if... I don't see how with the players that he's got at his disposal, he can continue to play the system that he's got. And you're starting to... I mean, this is how bad it is. You're starting to make arguments in your head of maybe Trent can go into the middle, maybe Williams at right back. Yeah, maybe five at the back. You know, maybe the answer's more centre-backs, just to give him some protection.
Play a numbers game.
And you certainly, when you get Jota back, you would certainly want a situation where you've got those four on the pitch, you know, the current front three and Jota. So, but the problem is, going back to the analogy of, you know, trying to fix a plane while you're flying it, is that it isn't a long time a week. You know, you haven't got many opportunities to try that system out, and it's just, you know, I don't know what he does, because I don't know, every conversation that he could have had with the team, I imagined he would have had 3 or 4 months ago. Every time you think that it's turned a corner, you fall back down the hole again. The only thing I think that changes this now is the impetus of some new players. So I don't know where Jota is. I don't know. I mean, that, again, you look back on that and you think a dead rubber against, you know, Midgetland, and it seemed like he had a knock. You know, he's been out for, what, 4 months or something?
It is, yeah.
I mean, that's half a season. I think you need to just put... I don't think. I mean, I understand what they're doing with Keita. We need to make sure he's ready. But I think you need someone to come in and, you know, be a hero. It's only going to be a person that changes this, I think. Someone that is Liverpool's player of the season between now and the end of the season.
I'd start Chamberlain and Keita at Sheffield United, maybe in a bit of a change of shape, a bit of a 4-2-3-1, maybe Chamberlain off the left, refresh Mane. I actually thought when Mane pulled right, he looked really quite destructive against Everton. I thought it was quite interesting when he was more central as well. There could be something in that. I'd play any of Damian Martin and Paddy next to Kabak at the heart of that defence. They can organise them and talk as they go right the way through. As they've organised and talked brilliantly through this, thank you very much indeed. Merseyside derby defeat show is not one that anyone sticks the hand up for. So well into Damien, well into Martin, well into Paddy. Liverpool got beat by Everton at Anfield. It was, as we started off saying, going to happen at some point. You've got to take your medicine, but at some point that medicine's got to turn into a cure. See you later. Sports Social Podcast Network.